First, we are God's children. Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. True humility is a humbleness that brings us all into equal standing with one another in the presence of God. In this passage and some other passages like it in the scriptures, we're admonished in the way that we relate to one another. Because the disciples, as they were following Jesus, had in their mind who was the greater, which one was the best disciple, which was the best follower of Jesus, who was doing it right, more right than everybody else. And it's a little tricky there, because what we're asked to do as disciples of Jesus is to support, encourage, and lift up others, and to be humble, and to have a right spirit within us, to love as we have been loved. And so whoever does that the greatest will not see themselves as the greatest, but as the least. And whoever does that the best will not be one seeking to be elevated above others, but seeking to elevate others to their rightful place in the kingdom of God. So it's a little bit of a trick question if we ask that in the first place, who is the greatest among you? But that's what they were kind of disputing about that. The way that St. Paul put it was, esteem others greater than yourselves. And that doesn't mean to put ourselves down. That's not true humility, putting ourselves down, but rather lifting others up. And throughout the scripture, I think the whole wisdom of the scripture points us to an equality amongst all of the children of God as the family of God, where that we are all, as our founders of our country said, created equal. That we are all God's children, that God loves us, that Christ gave his life at Calvary for each and every one of us, as much as for any other one of us. So, like the saying says, that if I was the only one that needed that atonement, Christ would have done it all for me, or for you. But as Scripture also says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the remedy is for all. That is what we're called into, seeing each other the way that God sees us, in an equal sense. That we're all loved with this same eternal love. But when we find that difficult to do, then we should err on the side of looking up to one another rather than down on, so that we esteem one another equal to or greater than ourselves. And then that puts us in that right humbleness and relationship. And it also avoids us being in the wrong humbleness of groveling or putting ourselves down, or acting like, well, that we can't do anything but everybody else can, or that God, getting that distortion there that puts us in a wrong relationship with God and with each other, that also God does not want us to be in, because we have the worth and value that God has placed on us that we see at Calvary and the cross. No one is worth any more, no one can be worth any more than Christ and what he gave for us on the cross. But no one can also be worth any less than that either. Amen. And so Paul invites us to esteem others greater than ourselves. Jesus told a parable one time about if you go to some fancy banquet feast of some sort, you know, where they always have like a head table and they kind of rank a lot of times the people that sit at the head table, and then they have other people that get to sit their place at tables right around that, you know, and pretty soon some are clear back in the back or outside or whatnot, you know. So it said, be careful when you go to a feast like that, that you don't take your own place at the head table or at one of those main tables like that, because what if then somebody comes, the guy that's in charge of the feast comes along and says, excuse me, somebody important has come, and can you go back, sit in the back, because we need this place for this important person? Then you would be embarrassed, right? That's the parable that he told. So he said, just start out sitting in the back in the first place, and then think how good it'll be when the guy that's in charge says, oh, no, you come up here and sit at this table here. Then see how much better that will be. That's the way Jesus kind of, one of the stories that he told, to kind of emphasize this idea of not putting ourselves up greater than what we should be, at the same time not putting ourselves down either, but trying as best we can to see each other and the people around us as equally as we're capable of wrapping our minds around, to try to realize that we're all in this together, that God loves us all, that Christ gave his life for all of us equally, and so that our job then is to be great at being servants of all. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, in the second chapter, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As the servants of God, as the disciples of Jesus, we follow one who teaches us to help others, who invites us to join him in supporting and encouraging the least, the last, and the lost. Who says in Matthew 25, in that great story about the second coming and the way that we will be judged when the judge of our souls comes and divides us into two camps, that we will be judged according to how we have treated the least of these my brethren. Christ invites us and empowers us by the power of the Holy Ghost with the spiritual gifts, a whole array of spiritual gifts that we can use in all different kinds of ways in every circumstance we encounter, to draw on, to use these tools to serve others as Christ serves us, and to then have that servant's heart that Paul wrote about in this passage in Philippians, that Jesus was talking about in this gospel reading today. When they were talking about, you know, who was the greater, who was the less, who was the most important, who was the least. We're the children of God. That's what Christ calls us into, that we are the children of God. We're a family. We are equal participants in that family, the family of God. We're brothers and sisters. So that's why a lot of times we even address each other that way, don't we? Brother, sister. Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, amen? When we think about the children, some of the things we like about, as Jesus set the children here and says, you have to be like these little children to be a part of the kingdom of God. Take a look at how they are. We think about their wonder, their energy, their freshness, and God calls us His children. So let's explore His kingdom as His children and relate to each other and everybody around us as His children. In Revelation chapter 3, there's another passage where that connects with this, because several times that this issue came up with Jesus, and one of the times was a couple of the disciples were arguing about, kind of actually not arguing, but maybe just trying to slip in there and get a good word in, that whenever that He came into the kingdom, which they were not really understanding anyway, but that whenever He did take over, you know, as the kingdom of God, that they could sit next to Him in the throne, one on His right and the other on the left. And it was the same sort of subject there. That's where that song, Are You Able, is based on, you know, because it said, if you think you're going to do this, are you able really to walk with me through all the paths that I'm going to be walking through to be able to get to that spot that you're speaking of? And, oh yes, Lord, we're able. A lot of times we don't really know what we're saying, do we? Like they didn't know what they were saying. And so they were wanting to, it was the same sort of thing, they were wanting to sit in the high place. They wanted to be the ones who were honored above the other disciples. And Jesus said, well, that will all be taken care of in the end by the Father, not by me. In Revelation chapter 3, there's an image that has the Jesus and who will sit there on the throne with Him. And it says here in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Christ invites us to join him in the same humbleness that enabled him to go to the cross and to serve each other and the world around us out of that sacred spiritual space that took him through the cross to the right hand of God, that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that if we join him and overcome and become the servant, overcome the challenge that the world draws us to go one way, but we go with Christ and as his disciples, and we overcome that resistance, then to sit in his throne in glory, and to join him as children, heirs, joint heirs with Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.